God is good. You enjoying this? Enjoying this kind of pleasantly cool weather? You don't? Yeah, it's too cold, too hot. Well, say praise the Lord. I'm telling you, I like it when it's like this. Not too cold, not too hot. Yes, if they could just get rid of these allergies. But God is still good. I want to dive right into my lesson. Last week, I went overtime. The clock wasn't working, and I don't want to go overtime this time, if I can help it. I want to. I mentioned last week that I was going to start a couple of lessons on relationships. And Brother DeCour read the passage that I'm trying to get to. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 8, I'm trying to get there. I'm not going to get there this morning. I don't think I'm going to get there, but I'm trying to get there. That's the destination. But hopefully, this probably is going to be a two-part lesson, at least a two-part lesson. But I want you to meet me in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I've entitled this lesson, The Disciples' Relationship with God and Others. And we have our theme for this year, really for all times, making disciples, making a difference. We've been emphasizing discipleship, disciples, learners, students, pupils. And I know we are almost taking it for granted that most of you are disciples of Jesus Christ in here. We know that not all are. We know there are still those who are seeking and searching, and that's beautiful. That's all right. I believe you're in the right place. Glad you're not at home searching your own head for what God would have you to do. And so we are happy that you are here, but we do understand that. And I really admire and commend anybody who does their homework before they make a big commitment, because to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is a huge commitment. It is a lifetime commitment. And so many have already done that. But we also understand that even as we are disciples, that we still yet have a journey. And we have not arrived. And we're on this earth for a reason. God has us here for a reason. And he does not want us to be wasting time while we're here on earth. So I want you to meet with me in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 3. Everybody's all right this morning? Good. God is good. God is good. Wait a minute, just a second. I've been fighting these glasses, but I got to quit fighting. I'm sorry. Don't say nothing. That's a shame. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his mercy, I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. This is the Apostle Peter, his letter through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I want to also correlate Ephesians 1:3 as the Apostle Paul writes, Ephesians 1:3, Apostle Paul writes, because he helps to explain this first passage in 1 Peter 1:3. We're studying Ephesians on Wednesday nights. Listen to what he says. And Peter said, blessed be the, he starts it off just like Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Same way Peter started. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Let me go back. Go back to 1 Peter 1:3. Because he says, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. Not that he made us, not that God forced us, because God does not force us to become disciples. But he said He calls us to be born again. To be born again, you know, and Jesus said to Nicodemus that unless you are born again in John 3:3, he said, truly, truly, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Here what Peter says, God caused us to be born again. And I know, I say, well, we're doing lessons like this. Sometimes I want to make sure the young people understand this, because I know this may be a little difficult for a younger person to understand. Because, you know, and sometimes people ask, well, how old should a person be before they obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? How old should they be? Well, they need to be old enough that they recognize they are a sinner. See, God desires a relationship with us. He desires, not that God needs us, but God desires to have a relationship. You know, the Genesis 1, I believe 26, says he created us in his own image, after his own likeness. He gave us the ability, different than any other animal, he gave us the ability to choose. He gave us the ability to make choices on our own. And God does not come in and interfere with our choices. But God wants us to choose him. He wants us to choose him. And he wants this relationship, kind of like when we have our children. You know what? Some of you that's younger now in here right now, you know, now I know sometimes we kids come about and we're not necessarily planning on it, but we choose to have children. Isn't that, we can't, I could have got along without any children. Well, you know, but you know what, me and Sister KB, we wanted some children. We did. Now, you know, sometimes children can, after they get a little older, you make you not want them. But we wanted some children. Why? Because we wanted a home with some noise in it. And you wanted to be able to experience joy with your kids. And you wanted to raise them and train them and help them to grow up to be something that you're proud of. Well, guess what? God made us in his own image. God desires, you're going to see that in a minute, he desires to have this relationship with us. But you know what? God's parenting style is he don't make nobody do nothing. And I think we as parents need to learn something. We train, we teach, but God didn't make us a robot. But I tell you what, he did something else. See, listen to this passage. His great mercy caused us to be born again. God didn't make us, but he did something. He does something for us. And see, now everybody haven't been born again yet. And you know, if a child does not understand what God has done for him, if a child does not recognize that when you get to the point where you recognize you've done wrong, and you know what? Some wrong you can't fix. And then there's thoughts in your head and you know they're not right and you need some help. See, you recognize that you can't do it yourself. It's time to tap into the mercy of God who made a way for everything to be forgiven. And that great mercy, it's kind of like your parents. You know, your parents, you know, you in the house. And you're up to a certain age, you just, you know, you eat and you do things and you just, food appear on the table. You don't act like you know where it come from. But then all of a sudden you get some liberties as a child, and your parents, you look up and you're 17 years old and they bought you a car. Lord have mercy. Got you a car, and you drive your car and you drive your car, you have a wreck. You come home and you had a wreck, and they look at you and dissatisfied. Then they get the car fixed, and you look up, the car is fixed, and then you go out and have another wreck. Are you out with your friends, and you go and they in the mall, and you shoplift. You gonna take something because they take something. and you embarrass your whole family. And you go home and you cry and your mama, your daddy look at you and just, son, why did you do it? You're like, I don't know. But they let you come back in the house. And the next morning you eat breakfast and you go in your own bed and you watch your own TV. Well, that's the mercy, ain't it? That's a mercy if I ever seen it, a mercy. But you know what's a shame? That 3 months from now, you go out and you get caught up into some of the same kind of foolishness. Now, you know what you're doing is wrong. You know you're rebelling against your parents. They had some mercy on you. Now, you need to be born again. Now, listen, I'm not even talking about in the spirit. You need to appreciate what your parents have done for you. And see, sometimes our kids, they're at the age that they don't recognize that. But when you recognize that, now this is not just for kids, this is for grown folks. There are grown individuals who've been living on borrowed time all this time on God's mercy and haven't been born again. And it is not until you recognize the great mercy of God who sent his only begotten son to die on the cross. Because some kids don't get baptized. Some kids don't make that commitment. Because you know what they say in their mind? Because I know I've been around. And they say in their mind, I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready to. I can't live right like that. I can't stop cursing. And I'm not ready to do that. Grown folks say the same thing. I am not ready to turn it loose. You know what? You're not going to never be ready to turn it loose. When are you going to get to the point on your own you're going to say, now I'm ready, now I can do it? You can't do it even when you say you can do it. We are Christians and we still having a hard time doing it. You see, the great mercy is this, that God had a plan in his mind from the foundation, even before he made the world, to redeem his children back to him. And that is being born again. And when you are born again, God's mercy has caused us to be born, because God wants us to have a relationship with us that when we need to get right, we can get right with him. And that's the only way you're going to keep that relationship right with God, is to be born again. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Listen to this now. Listen to this. He says, go back to Ephesians chapter 1, this correlating passage. Verse 3, Paul, he reiterates it. Brother Hart in our class, in our Wednesday night Bible class, he pointed out all the blessings. He says, we got all these blessings in heavenly, these spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In other words, these blessings, see, you can't, some of them you can't necessarily see with your naked eye, but you have to be spiritually minded to understand what we have in this great relationship. He said, listen to Ephesians 1:3, and I'm going to just run through them real quick, verse 4. Just as he has chose us. That's one spiritual blessing. That God chose us. Notice, God had a plan before he made the world. And he set the plan up in that anybody who wants to be saved can be saved. And I love that. He says, in that before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. This is what God had planned for his children. He said he predestined us. He had to adopt. That's another spiritual blessing. He adopted us. And I know there's some individuals here right now who've been adopted. And sometimes we get a little weary. We say, well, I want to know my real parents. Well, that might be good. You might need to know who your real parents. You might want to know. I think I would want to know who they were too. But I tell you what, when you've been adopted, you are a special person. Lord have mercy. Because somebody went out their way And gave you their name. God did that for us as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. Notice this. According to the kind intention of his will. God, in his mind, before the world was ever created, wanted to have this relationship with all of his children, and it was in his mind. That's what he wanted. The kind, God says, I'm going to try to make this thing where my children can't miss how much I love them. I want them to see it because I want them to appreciate me. I want them to love me. Lord, he created us in his image after his likeness. And so we get the same feeling when we're raising our own kids. That's why we bend over backwards and spend our money and spend our time and go watch our children in recitals. We don't even like the music. And we sit on the sidelines in the sun and in the cold. And we say, go, boy, go. And he's not going nowhere. Yes, and we pray for our children. And we stay up as mothers all night trying to make them well. And we pray and we pray because of the intention of our will. We want to have this beautiful relationship with our kids. And here God is. He has this plan. And he says, he bends over. He says, to the praise and glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved, his only begotten son. In him, we have this other spiritual blessing. In him, we have redemption. God knew we were going to make some mistakes. Just like when you have kids, you know, yeah, we want to have kids. But I'm telling you what, they're scared to have kids. Because listen, you know they're going to have some problems. You see these parents in this church, we got all these babies, and I'm like, Lord, we got a bunch of babies coming. And it's so beautiful seeing these mothers rocking their babies and kissing them. And they take now with these cell phones, they take pictures every day. I told my daughters, they send me pictures of the grandbaby. I got so many pictures in my phone. They love their children. But every time I see them, I smile. I get so happy and so proud. And sometimes I want to shed a tear. Lord, I wish you could keep them this young. Why, Brother Gary? Why you don't want them to grow up? Because you know what they're going to be facing. Oh, you know what these children are going to be facing. But you know what? God knew that about us. And he put this redemption. Listen, I thought you was talking about relationship. I am. I'm starting with God's relationship because, see, not until we recognize the great mercy that God has had for us are we going to get along with each other better. Because, see, you got to recognize how God is so patient and so long-suffering. And he's so proactive. That's like when you raising kids, you got to think way ahead of time. He is thinking, and I love it. Some of these parents, they've started these policies, and I got a bank account for my kid can't even talk yet. You got a scholarship account for your child. I don't think daddy, y'all didn't have it. But God, before the foundation of the world, he made plans for our mistakes. That's the kind of God we serve. I tell you what, that's beautiful. He made plans for not when he leaves us, because God, he haven't gone nowhere. But he's made plans for when we mess up. We ought to all say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's redemption. That's a spiritual blessing. That's why those who haven't chosen to be a disciple yet, you need to go ahead and do that. You need to take care of that. It's not going to get any better than this. Because God, see, you're going to mess up. Notice that you're already messing up. And if you're not in relationship with God, if you haven't been born again, you're going to answer to the Creator one day anyway. And you want to answer to the Creator when you are in the right relationship with him. Oh, my goodness gracious. Notice this. Verse 7. And with him we have redemption. That's a spiritual blessing. Bro, Hart, I'm not going to cover them all, but I'm trying to hit some of them. Then he says, the forgiveness of our trespasses. That's another spiritual blessing. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. And I know, you have to be careful when you when you're giving gifts and things to your kids. You know, you want to give them things. But you know why, I know why I do. You know, of course, my girls are grown now, but we still giving them things. Well, their mama giving them things. Well, I take that back, their daddy too, because they call me daddy. Well, I said, when they throw one of them daddy, I say, oh, my goodness. Y'all know what it's, yeah. And they ask you for things. Well, Dad, I do. I love. I always have. I love to make my kids happy. Now they used to tell me, say, "Boy, being a grandparent is different than a parent." And now I'm learning that the grandkids. You know, they call me Big Daddy. I know you some more Big Daddies out here, but I'm the Big Daddy. Except for my boys, there's the younger, my next to the youngest grandson. Now, when I come home, Big Daddy, Big Daddy. and now they'll come up to me, one of my grandbabies come up to me. And she can't open a candy. You know the candy, when I was telling you about my candy, she can't open the candy. Big Daddy, open this. And I love to open it. And she say, thank you, Big Daddy. I be looking for something else to open. Do we dare not be thankful when God gives us all these wonderful blessings? God has lavished us with all of these blessings. Would we dare go a whole day and not say, Brother Terry, thank you for your prayer this morning. Brother Terry, I thank you for your prayer. Yeah. Yeah. See, we could just stay here today. Let's do this. Let's sing a song to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I just want to thank you, Lord. You've been so good. You've been so good. Yes, you have. You've been so good. Yes. You've been so good. I just want to thank you. If you are a child in here this morning, you hear me, you can understand me. If you're a teenager, you don't have to do it right now. If you are a disciple and a child in somebody's house, do not let a day go by you don't thank God. Notice this. And don't let a day go by that you don't thank your parents. Just tell them just today, Mama, just thank you, Mama. Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Daddy. You know, some daddies act like they don't care that you say that. Daddy want to hear you say thank you too. You tell Daddy this time. And they're gonna look at you funny, especially if you haven't said it. They're gonna look at you. What you want now? But don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. We're talking about relationships. No, listen. Now. Man has this unique relationship with God anyway. See, more than any other creature, listen to the psalmist in Psalms chapter 8, verse 3. He said, when I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon, and you know the moon is magnificent, the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Now, our relationship with God is not like the angels' relationship, but he says, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over all the works of his hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts. We are unique to God. And we're not like the cows and the buffaloes and the buzzards and the lions and the bears. They don't have the same volition. They don't have the, they are creatures of nature. He made us very unique in so many ways. Amen. I want us to drop down now to 1 Peter. Now, we started in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And we are still talking about relationships. 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse 13. Now, we first saw it in 1 Peter 3. We skipped a few verses, went to 4. We're dropping down to verse 13. And then he says to us, therefore, see, as God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, he's given us great mercy to be born again. He says he got this inheritance waiting on us. Notice this now. We got an inheritance, and the inheritance God wants to give us, it's not, see, the inheritance is spiritual. It's imperishable. In other words, don't think of it as a diamond ring or something you can put your hands on while we're. He said this inheritance is reserved in heaven for you. In other words, God has already. You remember when Jesus was on earth in John chapter 14? He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will return again. In other words, Jesus left his earth. He went to heaven. God has already prepared our place. That's what the scriptures say. And you know, now, and I, you know, I'm traveling, going, moving around different places. I love it when I go to a hotel and they'll say, can I help you? I said, a reservation for Gary Smith. They say, oh, we have you here, Mr. Smith, right here. And you know, they have these reward clubs. You know, you have the Hilton rewards and Marriott rewards, and some of the places you go in, they have your reservation. You go in, have you, Mr. Smith, got you right here? He says, do you want? We have some. They'll have water and cookies, and you know, my wife, when we go, and you know, sometimes they'll forget. Say, you have some water for us? She wants everything, all the benefits. But does it make you feel good when somebody have a reservation for you? Amen. I like that. And, you know, they call your name like they know you. Yes, Mrs. Smith, that's me. Yes. Isn't it beautiful to know for the disciples, for the saints, that God has a place reserved? You know, see, listen, when the Bible says, see, when it's reserved, it has our name on it. Amen. See, that's why I know. I'm glad I came from a home that had a mom and dad. Everybody don't come, everybody go through. I don't understand it. But I do know that if you're a disciple, God knows who you are. And while we on earth, we got all these dysfunctional families. And I mean, you know, and I say we because all of us got this. See, some of us we can't operate because we looking at other folks' families. I wish we had a family that just got a beautiful family. First of all, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't. I wish I could tell you more. Stop doing that. Stop brutalizing yourself. Because When you're a disciple, you're in God's family. Now, I know while we're on earth, God's family on earth, we got some issues. We have some problems. But where you going to go? What are you saying? Because God is the head of this house. See, that's the thing about it. God knows everybody. He knows everything. He knows all the dirt on it. He knows who's lying. He knows who's sincerely seeking him. And in the end, God has the reward. And you don't have to worry about somebody rewriting the will and not giving you your just due. If you're a disciple, he already has a place reserved for. Reserved for us. Well, that got to help somebody. Because, you know, in life, even in the church sometimes, it seems like even sometimes leaders, they don't, they have respect to persons. And they don't say it out loud. And I hope we don't do it here. I don't think we do it here, but we are human. And sometimes it happens, sometimes unconsciously, sometimes, but sometimes we make up stuff in our own mind. We sitting there and watch, he gonna speak to her, but she ain't gonna speak to me the same. Well, quit doing that. You know. Yeah, and so now we get to the verse, and I gotta stop in a few minutes, but now we get to verse 13. Therefore, now this is our part. This is our part. See, God has been so merciful, so good, so gracious. He didn't make us. He didn't twist our arm. But he demonstrated to us his great love for us, his great mercy, how many times he let us get by with things. And he calls us to want to be born again. And when you made the decision that you wanted to be born again, what do you mean born again, Brother Gary? In John 3 and verse number 5, he says that unless you've been born of the water and of the Spirit, notice this, you can't see the kingdom of God. Now he said born again. Nicodemus didn't quite understand. He said, you got to be born. Nicodemus didn't even understand that. Because Jesus hadn't died yet, but he understood it after the gospel was preached on the first day of the week, in the day of Pentecost. And so he says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. That's what he said. See. Therefore, now you've been born again. You're a disciple. Now we've been talking about transformation. We've been talking about a transforming disciple. That's why, see, there's no seniority in discipleship. It doesn't mean you've been baptized. We should have learned more if we've been a disciple longer. We should have learned, shouldn't we? But we don't get seniority with God. But he says, for the disciples, now, since you know how good God has been, you've been born again, now prepare your mind. That's why you're in the right place this morning to hear from God. To hear the word of God, so to stop trying to philosophize and figure things out for yourself. God has a way to prepare our minds for action. He said, then he goes on, he says, keep sober in spirit. Yeah. He says, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, you got to be under control. You don't be intoxicated. In other words, don't be under the influence of nothing else but the Spirit of God. You see, some of you don't need to smoke nothing that look funny. You don't need to drink nothing that's going to add to your already weak mind. Lord have mercy. Amen, somebody. Yeah, we need to be sober thinking. And a lot of us like to read books, that's good you read, but watch what you read. You don't just read stuff because be sober in spirit. He says, now fix your hope. God, he says, now listen, don't get caught up on stuff. Don't get caught up on trying to please folk. Don't get caught up on trying to outdo somebody else. Don't get caught up in trying to please. He says, take your hope off of, if you're looking for magnification, if you're looking for glorification from the world, if you want your name in the bulletin, if you want to be known in your neighborhood, that's the wrong
focus. That'll get you messed up as a pupil of God. He says, fix your hope completely on the grace, the favor to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is what, see, this is the difference between a true disciple. And you watch sometimes people, and you can almost have a nervous breakdown trying to please people. Some people have a hard time getting dressed for church in the morning. Because you know what? We in our closet. Trying to figure out what we're going to wear. I wore this last week. I wore this 2 weeks ago. This wig don't match this. Woo! I'm sorry, sisters. I just had to say that. I had to. Woo! And then we look up, oh, mercy me. Oh, it's 10 minutes. Oh, I'm already. Well, I guess I'm going to have to just go next Sunday. Do you think somebody missed church this morning? Because they didn't have some shoes to match their. You think somebody? Maybe. Thank God we here. Amen. Amen. But see, listen. He said, see, think about this. Are you worrying about? Matter of fact, we don't even know what color your dress was last week. We don't know what you wore last week. This morning, my wife, earlier, she didn't know I was going to say this, baby. I'm sorry. I got to say it. You said it. I'm going to say it. This morning, I hung my suit on the, you know, last night we got home kind of late. I hung my suit on what I was going to wear. And this morning, I heard her saying, she said, well, baby, you wore light blue last week. She said, you going to wear that? I didn't say nothing. Because I will dark blue this week. Because she's trying to say, well, man, you can't change this. I was, nah, I'm not changing nothing. They leave me alone in the morning. Verse 14, I got to stop. As obedient children, remember this, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. I got to stop. I'm not finished. No, we're not finished with this. But brother God, you talking about relationships. Yes, that's where we're going. But our mindset has to fully understand who we're trying to please. That's going to help us. I know you want us to have a workshop on marriages, and we're going to do that. I understand that. I know we need to understand how to be a parent and how to be a better child and how to be a better co-worker and how to be live a single life. I understand that. But if your foundation, if your focus is not in the right place, you're going to have trouble with all relationships. Because the number one relationship we need to be focusing on is the one that's going to get us from earth to glory. Amen, somebody. You here today, you're not a child of God, you need to be. You need to get in right relationship. It's the best relationship. God is the most forgiving of anybody. He's more forgiving than your wife, than your husband, than your mother, than your daddy. See, now, because I'm trying to stay in right relationship with Jesus Christ, I can go to the Father on my own. I don't have to go to the priest in a back room. I don't have to call Brother Gary. Now, if I need to call Brother Gary, if I need to call one of the elders, if I need somebody else to pray with me, I can do that. But sometimes I don't know about you, but I get messed up at all times. Nobody's up. And I can call on God, the Father, myself. And if I'm in the right spirit, if I have the right heart, if I am sincere, God hears my prayer. I love that because I use that one all the time. You're here today, you're not a child of God. You need to be. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is. That he's a reward of those who diligently seek him. If you're here and you're willing to repent of all of your sins, you're willing to confess Christ with your mouth, what your heart believes, to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of all of your sins, God adds you to his family. You are born again. You're born of the water and of the Spirit. You're a child of God. You're a disciple for life. You too. Become a member of the church you can read about in your Bible because God adds you to that church. And if there's anyone who needs to be a disciple, you need to come right now. If someone needs to have a prayer request, you need to come also as we stand and sing.
Jesus is tenderly calling me home, calling today, why from the sunshine love will thy roam. Father and Father away, calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, he's tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest. Calling today, calling today. Bring him thy burdens and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away.
Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling. Is tenderly calling today.
Jesus is waiting, oh come to him now.
Waiting today,
waiting today. Come with thy sins at his feet lowly bow. Come and no longer delay.
Calling today. And we're calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today.
Jesus is pleading, oh, listen to his voice.
Hear him today. Hear him today.
They who believe on his name shall rejoice. Quickly arise and obey.
Calling today. Yes, and we're calling today.
You can still come, even as we sit, you can still come.
English tenderly calling today.
Calling today. Calling today. Jesus is calling. English tenderly calling today.